Moon Mullen talks about the Bears Thursdays at 10 with us. Do, do, do.
Hello, John Mullen. How are you, sir?
I'm good, guys. Post-Super Bowl, and is this the end of the season?
Yeah, you know, we debated on whether to even talk to you today. Yesterday, we were talking about it.
I feel special.
Well, no, it's like, is there Bear stuff? But then we talked about it more, and we think there is, because we don't talk about the coaches' stuff, Moon, and we'll talk about this new offensive line coach. Can you help us with where this man comes from? He's not Torrey Holt, but he's a Holt. Anyway, he's a longtime line coach, been an assistant lots of places. What can you tell us about Tim Holt?
Actually, not a lot, and partly because the, in particular with the Tampa thing last year, their offense was so, with running back problems, they really didn't have a coherent running game or a good one. With LeGarrette Blount being slowed and so forth. So, and as a buddy down there said, we don't talk to the assistant O-line coach that much, but they run kind of a mixed system. It's some pulling. I mean, it's kind of everything. So he's not been a coach at this level, so it's really hard to get a fix on him. Let's face it. As when Marsh was the O coordinator, he was the de facto. Shane Day may have had the title quarterback's coach, but Mike Martz was the quarterback's coach. And Mike Tice will be doing as much O-line mentoring as Tim Holt. So you're kind of getting – I don't know that he's going to really influence or bring a distinct scheme with him. It's in place. I don't think there's going to be a lot of disruption. And I think that was part of the appeal of Mike Tice in general.
What's your thoughts on Jeremy Bates getting hired as quarterback coach and how that's going to work from a, you know, I know the Bears kind of put out there they were going to have a passing game coordinator, but I felt like that was a bit misguided, that Tice can handle things from the coordinating standpoint, but bringing in a guy like Bates to help him out in the design of everything seems to make a lot of sense to me. What about your feelings?
Yeah, you know, Lars, it's funny. I'm not sure I've heard anybody say the same. I felt the same way, too. It's like, well, Mike Tice coached Randy Moss. He knows something about an offense with a receiver in it, and presumably the Bears will have one this year. I thought that was kind of staff clutter. So it more surprised me that they were talking about doing it. Because what you get with someone like with Bates is you get a little more than just a quarterback's coach.
Yep.
Now, again, people can argue about whether or not how successful he's been. The one thing that strikes me is where he comes from, and he's from Shanahan, Gruden, Pete Carroll. This is the antithesis. This is much more to me in line with where possibly Tice, his heart lies. It's not a Mike Martz descendant. This is not the Mike Martz coaching tree. It's much more of a West Coast scheme. So he may be looking at things in exactly the way that they looked at it in Denver when Cutler had his best, you know, when he was passer rating and fewer sacks than any other season, not just the 11 in 08, but in general. His predisposition seems to be toward kind of a more balanced offense and much more than there was with Mike Martz. So I actually like the hire. Again, he may have a personality that's kind of grates on some people, and he certainly hasn't been all that successful a couple of places.
So does the quarterback. Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, and let's be honest. Let's pull the camera a little bit back here. When they were 7-3, no one cared what Jay Cutler's personality was. You know, let's just win. And I think we can overanalyze things. If he gets along with the quarterback, that's everything. And if he gets along with the O-coordinator, that's even more important. So, you know, to me, if I look at this bigger picture, I don't see a lot of chaos the way some critics are seeing.
Oh, no, certainly not now. I think it's I'm a fan of the hire. I'm a fan of getting somebody that your quarterback is comfortable with, somebody who can help Mike Tice in terms of play design on pass plays that Jay likes,
exactly.
if need be. And now you know it's going to be Mike Tice calling the plays. It's just what we're looking at here in a Martzless Bears season to come is finally, you know, thinking about the players on the field and tweaking what you do to the talent and the players, as opposed to here are my plays, now you will run them. And you don't have to look very far to find smart offensive coaches who do it that way, which is the right way. What do I have? How do I make them most successful?
I mean, it sounds so obvious, and yet it's not. I think that And I won't say opposed to it because it turned out to take a side in this sort of thing. I thought Martz was a terrible hire. And for one of those reasons, everything I had heard and people I talked to said exactly what you did, Speaks. He's too wedded to a system. If he has the guys for it, great. But if it doesn't, he's not as flexible. And, you know, people wanted to say, well, look how flexible he was in the Dallas game when things weren't working and he turned, you know, turned to Greg Olsen. No, he really wasn't. He didn't change. And the track record there was not as good as people, you know, the big numbers were long ago. And to me, what the staff that they've got now makes more sense to me in terms of flexibility, in terms of what they can do offensively. You know, much was made, for example, about how Martz was going to turn Matt Forte into Marshall Faulk. Matt Forte was Marshall Faulk before Martz got here. You know, if you look at the numbers he put up even under Ron Turner and where he's gone, a guy like that will get the ball. He will get 60 passes a year. But I think a bigger picture is, are you making use of what you've got? And I think that was the biggest downfall of Martz. And I think if you want to look at what Tice is doing, I think if there's a guy on this staff who's made do, he's it. You know, he took over and became a de facto assistant O coordinator in the off week in 2010. You know, after the Washington-Seattle debacles, he was given a bigger say in the game planning. And then last year, and when things were so bad after the Green Bay and New Orleans games, he was given, again, a little more of a booster shot from him to the offense. I think he's very qualified to call plays, and I think he calls it. He's a guy who's accustomed to adjusting to what talent he's gotten.
And Moon, I think that he also has the trust of the quarterback. You know,
absolutely.
I think he was part of that kind of cadre of people who understood what Jay Cutler was trying to say publicly all the time about where the offense could go and where it should go. Mm-hmm. And I thought that Jay's quotes about both Bates and talking about where the offense is going with Tice were very telling when he started saying that he's a guy who understands how to work with the talent. That isn't going to make things as difficult on us than maybe it was under Martz.
Yeah, you heard decidedly less of that about Martz as the season went on. And not that this enters into it at this point. Mike Tice was a quarterback in college.
That's right, University of Maryland.
Yeah, I mean, he knows what it means to get pulverized or how important it is not to get pulverized. So, again, you don't want to sound like a fan in the off season about this sort of thing, but to me, the staff as it's now, it makes sense. And it makes sense with the talent they've got. And you can see, okay, now if we get this, it'll fit this way. And you can say, well, you sure, if they'd given Martz Vincent Jackson, things would have been better too. But I don't know. I think there is much, much more staff flexibility in the use of personnel with what they've got now than what they had before.
John Moon Mullen with us from CSNChicago.com. Moon, my solemn hope and my main hope for Phil Emery is that when it comes time in the draft room, he's the guy loudly and authoritatively saying, let's take the best player. I don't care what the fit is. I don't particularly care what your immediate need is right now. This guy is going to be great under you or whoever the next coach might be, Lovey. Mm-hmm. And this is the guy that we will not pass up in this position because I am amazed he is on the board. I just want him to take the best player, Moon.
Yeah, you know, the difference, and I didn't have quite as much problem sometimes with Angelo. I mean, if you look at his supposedly blown number ones, like Cedric Benson, like Mark Colombo, those guys had decent careers ultimately. But to me, and Emery made this kind of point, I think subtly, that he does think differently than Angelo does or did. And, you know, you say taking the best player available. You know, that's what everybody would say. But the difference to me was, and Tim Ruskell subscribed to this as well. They were looking at the class. You know, you used to talk about the floor of a guy.
Yeah.
What's his downside? That says safe to me. I did not get that sense from Emery. Not that he's going to be a wacko, but he's looking more at how good this guy can be rather than let's take a guy who has a better. We're more sure he's not going to be bad.
Yeah, Jerry was about worst-case scenarios. Worst-case scenario, this guy would end up on my roster. And the thing is that there were so many guys, Moon, that didn't. You know, that he misidentified the worst-case scenario with players that were hurt, that couldn't cut it. Mm-hmm. And it makes that theory look a little silly. I always understood it and respected it. But it made it look silly when you get a guy like Dan Bazine in the second round. You say the worst thing that's going to happen is that he's just okay, and he ends up being out of football.
We're just pleased with the win.
Yeah, if you go for that, right? If you shoot for the the stars and you only get the moon, no, or pun intended, you've done okay. Did I lose you?
Nope, we're here, Moon.
Okay.
It's a good Kanye West line. He said you shoot for the stars and you land on a cloud.
Yeah, exactly. So, but if you just aim for level ground and you miss, you've got a bust. So I think the Angelo approach and the Greg Gabriel approach, they were looking at guys who were less likely to be total busts. Now, again, you can use Bazine as Michael Oakwell. I mean, that 07 draft was a disaster. But to me, even on the high picks, you were less apt to get a superstar. You were less apt to get, again, Jerry did pull Lance Briggs out of the third round, and Charles Tillman was these guys were great draft choices. But I think you're going to be less apt to get those guys than if you're looking for, okay, how good can this guy be? And let's not be quite so concerned about making sure he's not going to be bad.
All right, Moon, great stuff. All right, you'll still be writing. Got the combine coming up soon. We got draft. We got free agency. We'll be reading.
Always something to write about.
Thank you, buddy. Moon Mullen, CSNChicago.com.